Hallelujah. We're being served Holy Communion today, for the blood still sets men free. When it came to that part about healing, this is a wonderful time to not just be healed spiritually, but to be healed physically. Amen. As we cleanse our hearts, we confess our sins, our failures, our faults before the Lord, not to make ourselves worthy of Holy Communion, but because the blood of Jesus has made us worthy to receive it today. Amen. No one in this room is worthy of one drop of the blood. I didn't say you were not worth it, because He proved you're worth it, because He shed it. He bled out on the cross in order to be able to forgive us our sins. Amen. If we would just get rid of our pride, our stubbornness, and confess our sins, He's faithful, and because His blood has paid the price in full, He's justified in forgiving us. He can't just do it. He has to do it based on something that will not cancel His justice and at the same time bring His forgiveness. This is legal stuff. God, who gave the law, cannot break and will not break the law. He had to figure a way to save us from our sin and ourself. And He figured the right way through Jesus Christ. He sent His only begotten Son. Amen. Oh, how He loves you. And oh, how He loves me today. Praise God that He would go to that length to save me. I did not get over it. I do not ever want to get over it. I don't want it to become such a settled fact that it becomes a given. I want it to become a settled fact, but not just a given. Oh, yeah, He died for me. Oh, yeah, He shed His blood for me. No. Oh, hallelujah, He died for me. Glory to God, He shed His blood for me. Once we get away from the cross, once we drift away from that first love for Him, then we begin to let all the world crowd in on us. And we start to carry the weight of it instead of get lost in Him enough to trust Him with everything. Amen. Amen. And give it all to God. I want to emphasize this in our Holy Communion today. Amen. That He is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our total devotion to Him. Amen. And what makes and stimulates us to hold Him always in that place of deep devotion is what He's done for us through the giving of His body to be broken and His blood to be poured out for you and for me. Amen. The same night that He was betrayed, and that's an amazing thing to me, that the very night that He was betrayed, He wasn't thinking about vengeance upon the person who betrayed Him. He was not thinking about His own self. And he knew that very moment what was awaiting Him. He'd made that decision not on the spur of the moment that night. He made that decision in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. When He said, "My soul is sorrowful unto death." And the pressure and the stress of the decision, knowing what was coming, caused sweat to come out of His body in a rusty, reddish, brown color. When the sweat glands and the capillaries just beneath the skin, they begin to burst under the stress. And blood and sweat mingle together in great drops like blood. What they saw when He walked out of Gethsemane was not a man shining and glowing in some kind of bubble where nothing harms him or hurts him, but they saw someone already beginning to pay the price for our salvation. Amen. Who said unto them, "My soul..." They'd never seen Jesus like that. They saw His heart broken. They saw Him upset with people that rejected Him. They saw him weep over Jerusalem. They saw him weep at Lazarus' tomb over the hurt of others as he empathized with them. Amen. But this time, they saw him hurt so deeply they'd never seen him hurt. That's before a nail went through his hands or his feet. Or the strap, the nine-tailed strap across his back. My soul is sorrowful unto death. Amen. And we, in our flesh, think of the pain that awaited him. And we can go into detail about the pain. But the Bible said for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising not the pain. As terrible as it was, it's indescribable. They try to describe it. You can't imagine what he suffered for 6 hours when he could have called the angels of heaven to take him down. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He's holy, completely 100% sinless. And yet he that knew no sin, he wasn't going to become a sinner, but he was going to become as if he was the worst sinner in the world because he took the sins of the world upon himself. And cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Every image you see of him on the cross has been cleaned up. There's a bloody mess. Every image you see is being cleaned up because most were crucified naked. This Holy One, God in flesh, hanging nude on a cross, blood covering his head, his body, now oozing out of all his wounds. And yet, what hurt him more than anything else was the shame. And he that knew no sin being treated as if he was the worst sinner in the world. When we saw him, there was nothing that we should desire him. We did consider him smitten, afflicted, forsaken of God, stricken and afflicted. But surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was put directly upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray. But God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, friend of mine, brother and sister in Christ today, person who maybe don't know the Lord today, that's why we praise him. Amen. That's why we worship him. That's why when I talk about total devotion, you know, somebody online says, is he deranged? I don't think he was a Christian. I hope he wasn't. Well, I hope he's not pretending to be. The world thinks we're crazy for following Christ in a full devotion. We're not crazy. We're crazy about the Lord. Amen. We're happy to be saved today. Yeah. I'm glad he stayed on that cross. Amen. And what was the joy before him? He saw past the cross to the day that every one of us that received him would be forgiven, escape hell and be sealed for heaven. So today in communion, I commemorate his death and celebrate this kind of love and sacrifice. Amen. He took the bread, he tore it in half, said, this is my body broken for you. Is anyone worthy? He is. Thank you for the body that you offered on that cross and the blood that was shed. We're doing it like you said to do it, in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, you may eat the bread. Next, he picked up the cup, said, this is the New Testament, literally rendered covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. My sin and your sin is under that covering, that cleansing. The old covenant, it was a covering. Oh, but sins could be forgiven for a year. Enough that judgment would not fall upon the covenant children of God because of that lamb that was slain and that blood that was sprinkled. Praise God. But this is different in this new covenant. This is a cleansing. Sin was not covered, it was remitted. Amen. And we were justified because of it. Legal forgiveness and justification. I thank Him for shedding His blood on that cross today. And I will forever turn my eyes to Calvary, where Jesus died for me. How about it today? Jesus, thank You for the blood that has cleansed us so we could be forgiven and accepted in the Beloved. You may drink the cup. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know if the quality of grape juice is getting better. I don't think it is. Grape juice is good. But I know one thing. Every time I take communion, the quality of this wonderful privilege to celebrate Jesus this way, commemorate His death and celebrate, amen, His sacrifice. We thank You for it today. The journey gets sweeter in my life as time goes on. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank You for the blood of Jesus today. Thank You for the blood of Jesus today. You want to change this over? I think we have a song to end with in just a few moments. There's healing in this service today. I always look forward to it. Mike remembers, I know he was blessed by a particular service, communicated it to us. I had the flu. Anybody ever had the flu? Oh, yeah. I mean, all the symptoms of the flu. And they were bad, you know. I went to a clinic in Brandon because my fever wasn't coming down. And the fever, you know, you get to a level where it either comes down or keeps escalating. And so they took me in and had a male nurse, actually, which is fine. But he came to me, said, asked me some questions, you know, where they were checking me out and, you know, doing all of this and my temperature and heart rate and all of that. And I'm a new believer. I don't know a whole lot about communion and all of that. I know I take it. I know vaguely about it. But I knew that God healed because I'd been healed of cancer as a child, cancer of the blood. Some of my family members had received miracles of healing. My great-grandmother had received a healing in a gospel meeting, and just an absolute instantaneous thing. So I believe that God healed. But anyway, while He was asking me these questions, I realized how different it is to be a Christian. Because He says, "Do you smoke?" And I used to smoke. I used to get up hacking and coughing with a cold, and reach first thing was a cigarette. Amen. You ever heard there was an old country music song. You don't know nothing about no country music, I guess. Anyway, there was an old country music song that said, "Tell Peter at the Golden Gate he's just going to have to wait. I just got to have another cigarette. And I, you know, before I get to heaven, I want one more coffin nail." I used to drink. I didn't drink carousingly. I didn't go to clubs. I couldn't afford to go to the show. But I used to drink. I used to take uppers, pills, because I pull in piece count. And if I got a bonus, so we'd buy pills from the truck drivers that wouldn't stay awake, and we would purchase their Bennies, their Benzedrine. And, you know, we uppers, and I'd pull this piece count, burning myself out. Only thing is, I couldn't sleep when I got home because my heart rate was still up. And it was a dangerous thing because I kept this wasn't for partying. This was for coming down from the pills so I could sleep, so I could get up and do it all again. And I believe that would have killed me sooner or later between the pills and alcohol, because I kept a bottle of whiskey. I wasn't a beer drinker. I drank it. I didn't like it. Anyway, I'm glad I didn't like it. But anyhow, I forced myself. You know, your first drink of liquor generally, or smoking either one, is repulsive because your body is saying, "Are you kidding me? Don't put that in me." How many remember your first drink of something nasty? I mean, it's all nasty, but you know what I mean. But you can override that and develop a taste for it. Your body's telling you, "Don't do this." You can override it and develop a taste for it. You can say, "No, it's smoking." I was determined. I'm going to smoke. I'm going to be like the big guys. Big guys are smoking. I'm going to smoke. I got sick. Threw my cigarettes down. I was sitting up in the branch of an oak tree smoking a cigarette where nobody could see me. And I got sick on it, and I threw the pack around. I said, I don't want to do this. And the next day, I decided, but I want to be like everybody else. Everybody smokes. I want to smoke. It's part of the rite of passage of becoming, you know, from 13 to 14. I got to start smoking. So I went back out to the oak tree and see if I could find where I put them cigarettes. And I kept puffing on them until, okay, I was trying to blow smoke rings. I saw my uncle take a puff and blow a smoke ring, and I thought I would be so cool at school if I could take a puff behind the boys' room and blow a smoke ring. Oh, man, whatever it took to be cool, wanted to be like the world. But when I got saved, I didn't want to be like the world. I didn't want to identify with the world. Can you smoke, go to heaven? Listen, I'm not going into legal stuff. I'm saved. If you really get saved, you would develop a taste for things that is not of this world. You'll still, amen, have a taste for something. Amen. Oh, I've got a taste for God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Perceive spiritually that the Lord, He is good. I got a taste. I got a taste for the word. Amen. Thy words were found. I did eat them, and they were unto me. Amen. The rejoicing and the joy of my heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. When you internalize the word of God, it becomes the joy in your heart. Your taste is satisfied. You get a hunger and thirst, but it's for righteousness. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst to be truly right with God, right wise with God. That happens positionally when you get saved, but it happens personally and practically when you desire to be right with God and you pursue in your life being right with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a hunger for it. And that's where the Word comes in, because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Everybody say, God breathed. It's not just somebody getting a vision or a feeling. It's God breathing. God breathing. Hallelujah. He made man a living soul, and He made His Word a living word. For the Word of the Lord is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And that word quick means alive. It's got life in it. Jesus said, the word that I speak unto you, that we just endure on Sunday sometimes, you know, the Bible study. Amen. No, if you get hungry, you hang on those words. Those words get into your heart. They get into your life. They transform your mind, praise God. Amen. And you begin to think differently than the world around you thinks. Your value system has adjusted to kingdom principles instead of the rudiments of this world. Praise God. You trade a carnal mind for a spiritual mind. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. When I saw filled, I thought of spirit filled. Tongue talking, devil chasing, shouting, prophesying, all the things that go with being filled with the Holy Spirit. But the context is not about that in itself. If you're hungry for righteousness, you're going to be filled with what you're hungering for. And that's why the Word comes in, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for rebuke, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Most people do not go to church to be rebuked. And if they go to a church where sin is rebuked and they're committing that sin, it's not comfortable. Most Christians do not want to be corrected. Corrected. They don't want to hear God say, "You're wrong, Robert." I'm talking about me. Is there any other Roberts here? You got? Oh, you're agreeing. I thought you were Robert too. I thought you might have a middle name. Okay, you're agreeing with me, Robert, and you're agreeing that you may be also okay. Thank you for agreement. I need correction. I want correction. You know why? Because if I'm without correction or chastisement that corrects, amen. And sometimes it's the Word itself. Jesus said, you want to be right with me? You want to be sanctified? You want to be clean? Now you are clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you. For the Scripture that is God-breathed, given by inspiration of God, is profitable for rebuke, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? What for? That the man or woman of God might be fully furnished unto every good work. Now, you are a vessel of honor, sanctified, cleansed, and set apart for a holy purpose. When you're exposed to the anointed, appointed Word of God in Scripture, if there's sin, we're going to be convicted. But if we're convicted and we're serious about being right with God, we're going to confess that sin. It's going to be forgiven. It's going to be forgotten. And we're going to go forward without the devil having something that he can claim in our life. And we can be a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. Sanctified. And meet for the Master's use. Praise God. We flee youthful lust. We put off the old man with his lust. And we put on the new man. And who is that new man? Is it the new you or the new me? No, he's far better than the new you. The new you will never come up to what this change is going to bring. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lust thereof. But don't just stop doing that. Put on Christ and you won't have the heart for it anymore. I didn't have a heart for smoking anymore. And I was addicted. But I was able, because I didn't have a heart for it, to lay it down. I didn't have to go through a deliverance. It was just the next morning. I had no hunger for it. I took him completely into my heart. I put off the old man. How do you do that, Brother Venable? You be renewed in the spirit of your mind, because it actually says put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then through that renewal put on the new man. And the new man is who? It's Jesus Christ. And Paul had put on the new man through such devotion. He said, I live, but I don't live. I live, but I'm not alive. And it's no more I live, I'm dead, but yet I live. Amen. But
no more I, but the Christ that lives.
It's no more I, but it's Christ that lives in me. Amen. Praise God. This kind of devotion allows for that kind of transformation. But it comes when your mind is renewed. And that comes when you offer yourself totally in devotion to the Lord. Amen. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that we might exemplify what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. What is that, Pastor? I'm glad that you ask. Amen. For whom he did foreknow, Romans 8:29, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. I believe in that kind of predestination. There's a lot of mess out there. Be careful with clickbait on YouTube or wherever. False doctrine, false teachers. It's a mess out there. Get in here. This is a safe place. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass. This will stand forever. One of the negative things about when we present our ministry is for the hungry and thirsty. I don't have food for people that are not hungry and thirsty. I have nothing to offer. If you're not hungry for righteousness, you're going to endure the word instead of enjoy the word. Amen. You're going to endure the word instead of employ the word. You're not going to take it to heart and apply it to your life. It will do you absolutely no good. Jesus talked about a man in a parable. He said, if you hear these sayings of mine and you don't do it, you don't apply it, amen, I'll show you what you're like. You're like a man that built a house. You could build this whole religious facade is what it is. But you build it on a foundation of sand. On sand. And not if, but when the flood tides come. And the winds and the rain and the floods come. It doesn't matter how tall you have built it. You may start out in Sunday school and end up going to Bible college and end up in a pulpit and maybe end up a part of the governing body of some denomination. But if you don't put the Word of God practically applied and obeyed in your life, when that storm comes, it's going to come with such velocity. It's going to cause that whole foundation that is not filled with devotion, it's going to wash away. Amen. And no matter how beautiful, they can use what they use in before the concrete is poured, rebar, this iron steel within. But when that foundation goes, it all goes. And great is the fall. You wonder how some people are failing out there? Amen. Because they have the word, but they do not heed the word. They preach the word, but they do not practice the word. If any man hears my voice and does it not, that's what's going to happen. You can build your religious facade. And it's not a facade because it's not visible. People see it. It's a facade because it's not on a foundation that's going to stand when the real temptation, when the real persecution comes. It's going to fall, and people are falling today in spiritual leadership like never before. And some young Christians are saying, if they're falling, how am I expected to say? I'm not as spiritual as they are. You better back up on that. If they were spiritual like you thought they were with this facade, amen, that you saw, it wouldn't have happened. It couldn't have happened because greater is he that's in you. Make no mistake about it. If you want victory, if you're not just playing a church game, amen. If you're committed to victory, there's one in you to help you achieve that victory. And he's mighty. Glory be to God. This is not just power to talk in tongues. This is not just power to preach under anointing. This is not just power to have a gift of the Spirit in operation. This is power to overcome. He that's in you is greater than what? This spiritual entity and this spiritual force that is in the world that is going to come with the velocity of a flood against you. But if you're on a foundation that is firm, you will not fall. Praise God. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled with power from on high, you do more than speak in tongues or preach to others. Yeah, He's there to help us overcome, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But you've got to be hungry to be right with God. Amen. And you've got to be hungry to be filled with righteousness. And you've got to desire to receive rebuke when necessary. Amen. Correction when necessary. What's the story? I can't tell it well. But evidently there's this lighthouse. And there's this destroyer that's following something, and he's in a part of the sea where there's a lighthouse. And he thinks the lighthouse is a ship. The captain thinks that's another ship. And he's headed toward the lighthouse where the rocks are, and you better turn and go around, rechart your course. Yeah. That's correction, right? Recharting your course, yeah, to follow God instead of your own desires. Listen carefully. I can't tell it like, but I'm going to try. Give me some grace. Here's the lighthouse. He's got a radio to communicate with ships if they call. Yeah. And so the destroyer, there's a ship in my way. The destroyer gets on a wavelength that he's picked up, and he says, I want to tell that ship, I see your light. You're in our way. I want you to change course immediately. Now he's talking to the lighthouse keeper, where there's munition of rocks. You're not going to topple the lighthouse. You're going to wreck your ship. When you're wrong with God, and there's a conflict between what I want and what He wills, let Him correct you. Amen. Receive correction. It's to keep you off the rocks. The lighthouse ain't going to fall. The ship's going to wreck if you don't correct your course. If you're in a service where there's conviction, then there's correction. Amen. Correct your course. Amen. Don't go out and do the same thing. Don't go out and think the same way. Go out with a renewed mind. Amen. Praise God. Amen. A different value system. Hallelujah. So, it's getting closer. And this is a real tough admiral or whatever he was of the Navy. And he says, I'm telling you for the last time, correct your course. And the lighthouse says, sir, with all due respect, you're going to have to correct your course. Our flesh doesn't like to hear a corrective message. It's intrinsic to our flesh. Did anybody ever get corrected at school? Did you ever, was you perfect, or did you need correction at some point?
Yes.
You got corrected?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I was at a pastor's meeting the other day, pastor's breakfast, and we all sat down at the table, and the light above, it was a fluorescent light, it was off when we sat down. I said something about Jesus, that light flipped right on. And all those other three guys said, and I thought, yeah. No, I was kidding. They were kidding too. I mean, we knew. But then, after it flicked on, it started flickering off and on. And I said, men, I'm going to need a lot of prayer today. My halo was on the fritz. It was so bright for just a little while. Now it's barely flickering off and on. I may need a new something so I can get my halo fixed. Yeah. Amen. God is so good today. Yeah. I want to be corrected by my master. Yeah. Because he loves me. He don't want me to be a shipwrecked saint. Yeah. It's happening to too many people that he's talking to by his Spirit and through his Word. Amen. But our flesh bows up against it. There are people that will not come here. I had a lady, one of the great compliments played this ministry. She said, I know Brother Venable is a man of God, and I love to go to where he's preaching. But every time I go there, I get convicted. And I thought, my Lord, get right with God and join the rest of us convicted people. Can you say amen that got right with God? That don't mean we're perfect, but we welcome correction. We want to be clean. See, that's why this ministry doesn't, that's why some people come and, well, you ought to come go, oh yeah, he's a man of God. Oh yeah, it's Bible. I agree. Oh yeah, he preaches under the anointing. But correction? Correction? Rebuke? No. No, you just be glad I showed up and don't offend me. What did they say to the prophets of old? You're going to help me a little today. So do not prophesy to us.
And that must prophesy to us deceit. Prophesy smooth things. Amen.
Don't rebuke us. Don't correct us, prophet. Prophesy unto us, get this word, smooth things. One preacher of old said, people tell me that I'm rubbing the cat the wrong way. And I tell them, it's the word of God, you better turn the cat around. Amen. Amen? If the word of God is rubbing the cat the wrong way, let's don't compromise the word. Let's turn the cat around. What does that mean? It means we decide we're not going to be a Christian in name, but in the way that we follow Jesus Christ. We're going to earn the name Christian. Anybody can tag it to themselves and attach it to themselves. But they never started calling themselves Christian initially. But down at Antioch, they saw they were followers of Jesus, and they coined the phrase, these are followers of Christ. These are Christ-like people. They are Christians, which means like Christ. And that's God's predestined will for every one of us. Hallelujah. So it's rebuke, correction, and correction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God might be fully furnished unto every good work. And that simply means sanctified, which means set apart for a holy purpose. Cleansed and set apart for a holy purpose. How's the church going to be presented to Christ as the perfect bride for a perfect groom? We can't present ourselves that way, but we're going to be presented unto Him. Amen. And there was granted unto her, amen, a robe of righteousness, clean and white, a wedding garment, if you please. And we are cleansed positionally by the blood of Jesus, we just commemorated. But practically and personally, we're cleansed by the Word of God. Amen. Christ loved the church, gave Himself for it, the blood was shed, and cleansed it by the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it unto Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. God is after holiness in our life. Amen. Be ye holy, you that bear the vessels of the Lord. Holiness is not self-righteousness. It is even not some kind of religious, rigorous thing that's going to put us in some kind of a box. It means that we're allowing that cleansing process to be continued in our life. After we've been saved, there is a sanctifying process. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and come on, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Praise God. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, or Christ with the devil? Belial. Amen. Be not unequally yoked together, the believer and the unbeliever. Be careful who you hang out with. And I'm not just talking about pagans in the world. I'm talking about phony Christians in the church. I got a come on and an amen and a few people looking at me like, Oh, this is my brother. Really? Did you know if someone's doing wrong, you're not supposed to have social relations with them, let alone Holy Communion with them? If they're living in open sin, unrepentant, we're not supposed to be hanging out with professing Christians. Bible. Oh, this is tougher. I thought everything goes. No, everything don't go. God is holy. The Word is holy. When you get saved, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Keep it holy. For whoever defiles the body, what happens? If you personally decide to rebel and go ahead and keep not only touching but consuming the unclean thing that God has said, don't, correctively, what happens? Him will God destroy. And if someone continues in that and doesn't receive correction, are you ready? Now, I know you're not ready, but you need to hear it. You may not hear it anywhere else. That's why you're here today. And that's why people online hopefully will get this message, because many churches will not preach it anymore. It's going to offend. It's going to offend. During communion, you know what communion turned into? Once we quit honoring and reverencing God, it had turned into a drunken picnic where people were not even waiting on each other to gather, didn't reverence what these tokens represent. And the Bible said, search yourself. There's a caution when you receive Holy Communion. Examine yourself. For if anyone receives Holy Communion, what we just did, because of what it represents, if we're irreverent to it, no, nobody's worthy of it, but you can certainly reverence God in this place. And you can reverence what these tokens represent. And not turn it into just a fluffy, no big deal thing. It's a big deal to God. And he said there's a reason that many of you are sick. And there's a reason many of you are dying prematurely. Weak, sick, and dying of whatever you're sick with. And it isn't because God doesn't heal, can't heal, won't heal. It's because of the irreverence for the holy. God comes on a bush in the old covenant. The bush is on a holy Shekinah glory. It appeared like fire, but it did not burn up. And God's presence was now on that bush. And Moses recognized it, and the voice said something to him. You can't just sit here and gawk at the power and presence of God. You've got to respond to it by a reverence for it. Take off your shoes. Do an act of reverence, for you are now standing on holy ground. Amen. It pains me to see so many people living an irreverent Christian experience. No wonder a preacher that cares is disgusted and discouraged by it. Because he said, I can't help them. I give them what God says. They take it with a grain of salt. They're building their reputation as a Christian. They give liberally. They go to church many times more faithfully than some people that are backslid. The problem is they do not hear and reverence enough to obey. And they don't reverence, therefore, the holy things in their life. They're still touching the unclean and think there's no repercussions because God can't see through the blood. I've heard it all. He's getting a church ready for the coming of Christ. How's he cleansing it? We've already been cleansed by the blood to be saved. What's he doing now? What's happening right here this morning? If you let it happen, I'm instructed to bring a cleansing word. which is a corrective word. There are people in this room right now that have no more reverence for this book than they do any book in the library. It's a game. It's a chore. It's something I have to do. Sometimes it looks like revival when people are giving you a hand clap or responding. Ezekiel. People came in droves to hear him prophesy. Corrective word to Israel. A real prophet will correct. Can I get a better amen? A real prophet will correct. I'm not claiming prophet. I'm talking about any spiritual leader that doesn't call to repentance through correction is not spiritually leading. They may be appointed as a leader, but they are not leading. And people are sick and dying with a covenant to heal. And weak.
And many asleep.
And many sleep, which means death in the Greek. They're dying prematurely because you received with irreverence. How irreverent were they? They brought alcohol. They brought wine and drank it until they were inebriated. They ate until they were so gluttonously filling themselves. They did not even look to see, wait for each other or share with one another. And they turned a holy event and holy tokens into something that's just consumed on their own fleshly desires that are out of control. And they did it so irreverently. Paul said, you need to get this straightened out. Because now sickness and premature death is ravaging covenant people because of the irreverence for the holy. I've got enough trouble with the devil trying to destroy me. Yeah. I want to be corrected so God doesn't have to step in. Amen. If someone keeps doing wrong and you go to them and they say, no, I'm going to keep going to that bar, that I'm going to keep going out with that woman on the job, and you tell them, you've got to get this right with God. You take somebody with you, and two of you go to him or her. Have you ever tried to help somebody get out of a mess, and they claim to be a Christian, and instead of saying, yes, I need help, pray for me, no, they just blow it off. Nothing's happened to me yet. I'm covered by the blood. And if they still don't listen, tell it to the church. Oh, Lord, we're going to expose sin. We think we're lean now. Let's just expose somebody's sin in here. And name them. Be biblical. I said be biblical. I didn't say do what you want. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to protect you. I'm a mean old sheep dog. Amen. I want you to stay where God can keep you safe. I do not want the wolf, the lion, the bear, or the snake to bite you. Amen. I'll preach a corrective message if it empties it out, because I need it for me. And I don't know where to go get it but me. Where do you go to hear preaching like this? Not many, and they're getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Why? Because we're refusing correction, because Christ is coming soon, and He's going to present a bride to Himself, a glorious church. Not a compromised church. Amen. Not a church giving place to the devil. A glorious church, not having spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing, but that it might be holy. He loved the church, Ephesians 6:5, and He gave Himself for it, that He might present it unto Himself, a glorious church. Hallelujah. Holy. Separated unto Him. A glorious bride. for a glorious groom. And so what's he going to do to get us ready who are alive and here not now? He's going to cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. If I was here to please you, I wouldn't bring the parts of the word that's going to bother you. I would fail to warn you. I'd fail my calling. I would take responsibility for where you spend eternity if you miss heaven. I take responsibility if you miss God and go out and keep touching the unclean and come under His chastisement. It'll be on me. I refuse to leave here with your blood on my hands. When I leave here, it's going to be on you. It's going to be on you and you and you and you and me. But it's not going to be on my hands. Because I don't care what the admiral says. I'm the lighthouse, Jesus says. Somebody's going to have to change course. And the admiral, you know, the dreaded rear admiral, he says in the Navy, he says, you better change course because we're not. And the man in the lighthouse says, because he says, I am an admiral in the United States Navy, and this is a United States destroyer, and you better change course because we're not. And the guy in the lighthouse with the radio says, I am the man in the lighthouse. Warning every ship at sea away from the rocks that are right in front of you. And if you don't change course, you're going to run aground your ship and lose your position as an admiral and lose your ship and crew. Yeah. And the admiral said, oh, thank you very much, sir. And he changed course. You see, a lot of Christians are having trouble because God is the lighthouse. And they've got their own little ship. And they think it's a destroyer. Oh, yes. Amen. We better change that preaching or I'm not going to give. You better change your preaching. I've had preachers tell me to change my preaching. I said, is it the Word of God? Oh, yeah, but people don't. Oh. So we got to change the book because people don't want to hear it. You know what the Bible said would mark the last days as we close? It said in the last days the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The devil's going to tell you you can do anything you want without consequence. The devil's going to tell you it's legalism to even try to do any better than you're doing. The devil's going to tell you that the blood covers it all and you can sin to the high heaven without consequence. The devil is a liar and he's the father of it. Can you say amen? But truth is found in the Word of God. And the Bible said in John's Gospel chapter 8, 31 and 32, 30 and 31, if you continue, if you put up with me, and you put up with the Bible, and you put up with the Word of God, and not just put up with it, you gladly receive it, because you do not want to get on the rocks and shipwreck. Hallelujah! You get hungry to be right with God. You'll go to church where they'll tell you how to be right with God. Hallelujah! And you'll leave right with God. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to be corrected. I've seen too many people shipwreck, and so have you. So, been in church for years and shipwreck, and more are shipwrecking. And we've got to come back to where we have a lofty view of God that brings a deep reverence for Him. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, Isaiah said, in the temple. And his train filled the temple. And I said, oh, goody, goody, I'm going to get a blessing today. No, he said, when I saw him as he is, I said, woe is me. For I'm a man of unclean lips. He was convicted of his own imperfections. Yeah. And I live among a people of unclean lips.
Yeah.
Woe is me. I'm so unworthy to be in this kind of holy presence. And he reverenced and recognized, amen. He's a thrice holy God. I saw the seraphim and they were crying, holy, holy, holy art thou, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. I saw him what? High and lifted up. That's where he needs to be again. He's not, we want to dumb it all down. We want to bring him down to our level. We want to bring him down like us to make us feel better about ourselves. I do not want an unholy God that's going to change his mind about his promise to save and secure me for eternity. I want a God that's too holy to lie, that I can build my foundation deep on the bedrock of his truth. Hallelujah. I don't want a fickle God. I want a faithful God. I'm a married man still in love. I don't want my wife to be faithful to me most of the time. Thank you. Did you hear? Anybody want a relationship where the person you're in relationship with and give your heart to, they're faithful to you most of the time? That's acceptable. It's not acceptable to you. Not acceptable to me. I mean, you know. I want faith. I want fidelity. God does too. Paul said, you know what? Through my gospel and you being saved and cleansed by the word, he said, I want to present you to Christ a chaste virgin, that you have kept yourself for him and him alone. A bag boy, my wife's teenager, we got married in our teens. She had on a wedding band though, and he didn't care about that because, you know, if she don't care, I don't care. Well, the problem is, what he didn't factor in was that I cared. And it was a cash and carry or something back then. And he asked her while she's getting groceries, he said, do you date out? And she said, no, I'm married. He said, it's okay. I'm just asking, do you date out? In other words, I don't care that you're married. If we can go out and meet somewhere and have a relationship, I don't care about that little, you know. And I told her, would you point him out to me? Because I care. You understand? I'm little, but I'm wiry. Amen. I played football junior varsity. How'd you do it? Because I was a mean old bulldog before I was a sheepdog. Amen. And I thought, I care. She belongs to me. Well, that's up to her. No, it's not just her. I'll whoop her when I get home. But right now, I'm interested in whooping you.
I'm going to send her a clip.
You're going to send her a clip. She knows about it. You know what? My wife is so happy that I defended her from being hit. You ought not be hit on as a married woman in a grocery store. You ought to be, say, if you're in a club, you ought not be in the club. But if you're in the grocery store, they ought to not do that. Amen. I can feel it right now. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I feel it. Jesus, hold my hand. Hold my hand. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Amen. He bought you. He paid the price. He claims you as his own. Hallelujah. And he said that I may present you unto him a chaste virgin. Amen. You were sullied by sin, but you've been cleansed. You've been sanctified. and you've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you will pursue that relationship with Him and what He's done for you, both personally, positionally, and practically, you will be, amen, presented to Him as if you had never sinned at all. Amen. Glory be to God, a chaste virgin for Jesus. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, this is the corrective word of God to keep us off the rocks of sin and compromise and the devil's devices. More Christians are going to shipwreck. I've been a pastor long enough to have my heart torn out of me watching people that started out heeding the lighthouse, the signal from the lighthouse, and then became hard-hearted and stubborn and began to give way to their own fleshly desires and shipwreck. Shipwrecked marriages, shipwrecked ministries, shipwrecked testimonies. And a church under God's judgment. The devil, if you're right with God, who can be against you and prevail? Nobody. But if you're wrong with God, who can deliver you from Him? You can't keep blaming the devil. Get right with God. Don't matter about what He intends to do. God will deliver you. If you continue in My Word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free, set you free, make you free, keep you free.
Amen.
But you've got to receive correction. Close with Ezekiel. Last closing. He thought he saw revival. If this place was full today, and people repented, looked like they're repenting, I would say, come back next week, we're in a revival. We had 12 people come that hadn't been here before. They all came down front. And there would be people come to see what was going on. And Ezekiel saw that happen on a large scale. People were coming to hear him give a corrective message to Israel. True prophet does that. And they came to hear him speak with such authority and divine inspiration. And he thought, success. They're listening. They're receiving correction. They're repenting. We're in revival. There's a false revival going on in the Church of Jesus Christ. Even where there's activity that looks like it, God goes deeper. You want to hear it? He said, Ezekiel, let me tell you what's happening. Because God looked at their heart. God looked at their heart. He said, they come unto you and listen to you as someone that plays skillfully upon an instrument. Prophesying under the anointed of God is entertaining them. They know it's real. And they don't want to be in a dead service that's like a classroom in his math class. I love you, my brother. Amen. They want to be under the anointed word of God. But they're being entertained, not instructed in righteousness and taking it to heart. He said, they will not hear you. Take it to heart and obey it. Because they will not hear me. When correction is rejected, not only will the preacher not be listened to, but God will be turned off. That's why Jesus said, he that receiveth you as my representative receiveth me. How you're received, I take it personal. Because I sent you. And he that rejecteth me, you rejects me. And he that rejects me, rejects my Father. You can't claim Jesus and not claim the Father. You can't reject his word. Now, I'm not going to put myself up on some pedestal, but I'm going to put this up. This is the lighthouse. This is the lighthouse. Amen. When I receive correction, He's getting me ready to be part of that glorious bride that's going to be presented unto Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why I want somebody to tell me exactly what the Word of God says. If it costs them the pulpit, then they better find a pulpit where they can do that, because, oh, God said, oh, that there was such a heart in them. If they meant it from the heart, what it looks like on the outside, they would hear you, they would hear me, and I would bless them and keep them safe. But there's no heart like that in them. But he said, Ezekiel, regardless of this phony response, I've set you, son of man, as a watchman over Israel. If you see the enemy coming, and you warn my people, and they do not listen, they will be destroyed because they did not heed the warning. Amen? But I will not hold you accountable. I will not require their blood on your hands. It won't be on you. It'll be on their own head. But if you see the enemy coming, and you warn them, and they don't listen, having been warned, they will be destroyed. But I will not require their blood on your hand. There are people that have heard me preach that will go to hell. There's no if, and, but about it. Many will say, Lord, Lord, and He'll say, depart, I never knew you. Many. I preached the word rejected. I've sounded the warning. Let me say this about warning as we try to close. Listen, where do you get warned like you're getting warned this morning? They're out. They're in line. I said they're out of church right now. They're very happy. They went. They believe everything they need is going to be granted them because they showed up on Sunday morning. They're out at the restaurant line right now looking at the menu. Many of them are seated and waiting to be served. It's done. It's over with. Were they warned? Many received communion first of the month. Were they warned about the seriousness, the reverence? They had a good time. They might have had prophecy. They might have had tongues, interpretation. They might have had a hand-clapping good time. But were they warned? If you fail to warn, if you warn they don't listen, you're clear. I'm going to answer to God every time I stand behind the sacred desk. I love you, but I will not let your expressions determine what I preach. It's not your amen or lack of it that determines what I preach. I am a mean old sheepdog when it comes to something threatening the sheep. I'm a mean old sheepdog when the sheep, amen, become rebellious and are not going to stay within, not my ministry, not some kind of control, but stay within the green pastures of the shepherd where he can keep them safe. Amen. I want you to go to heaven, and I want you to have God's blessing before you get there. Amen. I want you to be wonderfully blessed and well defended. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. How many believe this message is worth something today? Amen. Glory to God. How many believe the church world needs to hear this message? How many believe the people who dare to stand on behind the sacred desk needs to take it seriously? And not just ask, where can I go and put in my resume now that I have a degree in theology? Where can I go and get the best salary? Where can I go and get the best benefits? Where can I? No, that's a hireling. And when the wolf comes, he's not a mean old sheepdog. He's not even a sheepdog. He don't care about the sheep. All he cares about is being convenient. You'll never hear a warning. You'll never hear repentance.
Yeah.
You will never see an altar call. You will never see weeping people so convicted over their sin, their tears are streaming down as they ask God for forgiveness. They're not moved. Because there's no fear of the Lord before their eyes.
Yeah.
That respect and reverence is not there. And the miracles are not happening. Though faith is taught like it's never been taught, the miracles are not occurring. Amen?
Amen.
I want it all.
Amen.
I want to be ready to meet the Lord, get everybody I can to go with me. I want to sound the one. There's so much in my soul. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know you're tired. I came in tired. I'm under the anointing. It's going to override my tired. But on the way home, the anointing's going to lift. Except to preach to Pamela when I get home. Anyway, but the anointing by and large that I'm preaching under, it's going to lift. When I get home, I'm going to tell you what I'll be like an old dish rag you just wrung all the water out of. Amen. I'm not sweating, but I'm going to be spiritually dehydrated. And I'm going to sit down and say, thank you, Lord, for using me one more Sunday and sending somebody hungry enough to be here. Glory to God. And maybe something may go up online that someone will say, I want to hear that instead of don't tell me that. Can you say amen? Because somebody is going to get hungry. They're going to have to be to receive correction and instruction in righteousness. I want to be right with God more than I want to align myself with the world. I want to be right with God more than I want fellowship with my peers at work. I want to be right with God more than I want the acceptance in within my family.
Amen.
I want to be right with God because He's worthy after what He's done for me. Amen. That's spiritual hunger. And blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Pamela did not point out that fellow to me. I wasn't saved back then. I mean, remember before you got saved, you did let the sun go down on your wrath. Let it come up on it sometimes. I believe God is so jealous over His people. How many times would I have taken you under my wing like a mother chick? That's where I want to be. But you wouldn't let me. Well, I want to let Him. Preacher, if you don't tell me the truth, you ain't getting a dime from me. I wouldn't pay you to soften it, change it, alter it, or water it down. I'm not going to take an hour of my time. I'm not going to take 30 minutes. I'm not going to take 50. First 10 minutes, you can either get a hold or you can turn me off. But if you're trying to soothe me, they got to the point. They told the prophets of God, prophesy unto us smooth things. They asked for it.
Yeah.
Prophesy deceits.
Amen.
They'd rather be deceived than to hear a truth that would set them free if it involved correction and repentance. Tell us what we want to hear. We're in this time. Pray for me. It's tough for me. It's not easy for me or anybody that in any semblance of me with the stand that I've taken. I'm going to do it anyway, but your prayers will help me to do it. Listen carefully. I'm committed to it. The time will come that men will not endure sound doctrine or teaching. But they will receive teaching. In fact, they'll heap to themselves teachers with tickling ears that will tickle their ears.
Amen.
That means tell them what they want to hear instead of what God has to say.
Amen.
They'll buy their books, support their ministries, go to their conventions, sit in their churches, and it'll look like what a move of God.
Yeah.
God says if they're not receiving correction, that person in that pulpit is not giving them a warning. If they had stood in my counsel, they'd have given them warning from my mouth. But they prophesied their own imaginations. They preached that they knew people would love to hear. They tweaked the gospel to fit people's own fleshly desires instead of God's desire to sanctify them, cleanse them, and keep them, and seal them against the wrath to come. They will not miss the rapture because they were not clean enough. They'll miss the rapture because they were not clean at all. Did you hear what I said? Because they had never met the Master. And He's coming for those that are sealed with the Holy Spirit, marked as His own. Hallelujah. They went to church. They get baptized in water. Some continue to go, some don't, but they always go back to that day when they walked the aisle and prayed what? They repeated after someone that had nothing to do with the cleansing, sanctifying of the heart. They just repeated the words and walked away and built their house on the sand, and it fell when the flood came. But he that heareth my word and doeth it, I'll show you what he's like. How many want to be like the person Jesus is going to talk about? Amen. He dig deep. He didn't want a superficial approach. He wanted to get down into the nitty gritty depth of the word and the things of God. He doesn't want it to be smoothed over, glossed over. He dig deep and laid his foundation on a rock, and the same wind and the same flood and the same rain came, but it did not fall because it could not fall. Because it was founded on a rock. Can you say amen? And when the lighthouse says change your course, we say yes sir immediately. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now I'm what? I'm led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That proves I'm a real, genuine, bona fide son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Not in name, but in reality. I've preached a long time, but God really wants somebody to change course today. Is this ministry worth this, even though it's corrective? Some of you wouldn't be here if it wasn't. Because if you go and play church, you can play it in a lot more fun places than here. Can you say amen? If you want to play, everybody amen back there. You've been to the fun places. You know what I'm talking about. They're out, had a good time. It was well timed. It's over. It's done with. You're going out like you came in. If you go out not right with God, there's no covering over your life. And there's a lion waiting. There's a bear waiting. And He's looking for that kind of person who's Christian in name only. Will you stand to your feet today? We'll have one song before we go home. I am committed to sounding the warning because too many people are out from under the covering and they're weak. They're dying prematurely while claiming a covenant promise that they're in not any position to claim. And they are blaming God for not coming through. And they're questioning God instead of questioning themselves. If you want to change course today, I want you to do it through this song. Don't keep going the way you're going. I'm so glad that Nar told you to go for prayer. And by the way, I didn't hear that they were just praying for the sick. They were calling for salvation. He wants you to go get under that. And he recognizes the call of God. It'll never be stronger than the call of salvation.
Amen.
And even someone who's a non-Christian in a false religious structure, since God is doing something and my wife needs help and I want her to go have prayer. Saved or not, I want her to go to have prayer.
Amen.
Because this God must be real. Because something is happening in this room. Amen. That's answer to prayer. They're last that be first, and first that be last. There may be a pagan come to Christ in a meeting, while someone who claims Him have never really met Him. But it's all going to pan out when the King comes. And I want to be ready. For in an hour you think not, the trumpet's going to sound. If you're ready, we're going home. If you're not ready, you're staying right here.
Amen.
If you stay here, you think it's hard to serve God now? Just wait till the tribulation hits. You'll have to lay down your life to escape hell. The only way to do it. God is so good. He's so faithful. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God through Jesus. Get right with God. For the devil to get to you, he's going to have to go through Jesus.
Amen.
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 So I'm going to leave here the Lord on my side today. No blood on my hands. I've not failed to give you the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
Think about this today. I want you to be honest. This is not just for the online people. Somebody in here needs to change course.